Look at Genesis 22. I'm going to prophesy to you in a very unique way here this morning. Genesis 22, verse 17. Now you got to understand, these two verses have a context to them. Abraham was going to sacrifice his son. He built the altar. He laid the boy on the altar. He took the knife out of his sheath and was ready to plunge it down through his heart. Angel of the Lord grabbed his arm. God said, "Now, I know you love me. I know you care. I know you obey me." That wasn't a temptation, Abraham. That was a test. And that's when the Lord spoke these words to him. Blessing, I will bless you. I will multiply your descendants as the stars of the heaven and as the sands which is on the seashore. And your descendants shall possess the gate of their enemies. In your seed, everybody say, in my seed. Because God's no respect for person. In your seed, all the nations of the earth shall be blessed because you have obeyed my voice. But I noticed the part where he talked about sand. I've never preached this before. This is for this church. Those songs was the first time I've sung them in church. God is doing something special in your life today. Your bishop has been preaching it, and God is confirming it. You may be seated. Please indulge me just for a few moments. I'm going to watch my time, but indulge me just for a few moments. Because I think the Lord wants me to, because I've did a study on this, and I've studied sand, and I think the Lord really has a prophetic word. Because I want you to think the next few moments when I talk about sand, I want you to apply it to your life. Say, well, why would that be, Lloyd? Well, because God formed us out of the dust of the ground. And then he brought us into Abraham's seed. And he said, as the sands by the seashore, so shall your seed be blessed. Have you ever thought about sand much? We live in it. We travel on it. We communicate with it. You woke up in a building this morning partly made of sand because the foundation is concrete. Do you know that the paint on your walls in your home contains finely ground silica sand to make the paint more durable? You know that you flicked on a light today provided by a glass bulb made from melted sand? You went to the bathroom this morning. You brushed your teeth over a sink of porcelain. You used water that was filtered through sand at your local purification plant. The toothpaste you used this morning contains hydrated silica, which is a form of sand that acts as a mild abrasive to remove the stains and plaque off of your teeth. Silicon, which is made from sand. Silicon reinforced the boot soles of which Neil Armstrong made his first footprint on the moon with. Oh, we feel so insignificant because we just look and we just think, I'm just dust. Oh, no, no. Do you know that sand is the essential ingredient that makes modern life possible? We use more of this natural resource than any other except air and water. So what is sand? Well, it's a simple syllable, but it comprises a panoply of tiny objects of many shapes and sizes and many different substances. The average grain of sand is just a tad larger than the width of a human hair. These grains can be made from glaciers grinding up stones, from oceans degrading seashells and corals. Some of these sand grains are made from volcanic lava that chills and shatters upon contact with air and water. Nearly 70% of all sand grains are quartz. Everybody say quartz. Because this is the one that matters most. Quartz. Quartz is a form of silicon dioxide. Silicon and oxygen are the most abundant elements in the Earth's crust. In fact, you can think of sand as a colossal army or a group of related armies that are made up of quintillions of tiny soldiers. And these armies, though, they're deployed not to kill, but to create. Anybody getting this morning a little bit? So instead of destroying, these armies of sand soldiers, they build structures. They create products. And they perform services for us. We're all different, but we came from the same stuff. We've all got our strengths and our weaknesses, just like sand grains. Because some sand grains are prized for their pliancy. Others are prized for their angularity, their roundness, their purity, and even their color. Some sand grains are like specially chosen commandos that are put through these elaborate physical chemical processes to alter their capabilities. Or they're connected with other materials to perform tasks that they could never do in their original condition. That's you. That's you. Some sand is called construction sand. Building sand. Construction sand. These are the hard, angular grains that are used to make concrete. They call them the infantry of the army. Then there's another grain of sand. It's known as the marine sand. This is the naval wing of the army that's found on the ocean floor. It's used to build artificial land, like the Dubai famous man-made palm tree-shaped islands. Then there's the silica sand, the purest of them all. 95% silica. These are the special forces of the army, because they're capable of doing more sophisticated purposes than the average foot soldiers. They call them the SEAL Team 6 of the Sand Army. They call them the SEAL Team 6 of the Silica World, because this is a tiny elite group, just tiny grains, elite group that possesses a rare attribute that enables them to perform these extraordinary feats. They use these particles to manufacture high-tech equipment used for computer chips. Spruce Pine, North Carolina. Ever heard of it? I haven't until I read about it. Spruce Pine, North Carolina is rich in rocks. This little town up in the mountain, Spruce Pine, is the source for the purest natural quartz ever discovered on the earth. And in this 21st century, sand has become the most important element. Everybody say, it's my time. This is the digital age in which the jobs we work at, the entertainment we use to entertain ourselves, the way we communicate, all come from sand made into computer chips. Anybody ever felt alone? Anybody ever felt insignificant? Has anybody ever felt overlooked? We all have. Do you know that for years the focus was on the money makers? Feldspar and mica. The problem was separating the materials from the other. For years, the locals would dig up this material, the pegmatite, and then they would crush it with their hand tools, separating out the mica and the feldspar, leaving the greatest discovery alone, disregarded because they thought quartz was junk. And we know God doesn't make any junk. One day, the Corning engineers looked at this quartz. And these engineers were so impressed with the purity of the quartz. So years ago, Corning began buying up the quartz grains of sands, hauling them to New York on train loads. And where they were turned into everything, these grains were turned into everything from bottles to windows. One of Spruce Pine's greatest achievements came in the 1930s when Corning won a contract to manufacture the mirror that would be the world's biggest telescope. It was ordered by the Palomar Observatory in Southern California. This 200-inch, 20-ton mirror involved melting mountains of quartz sands in this giant furnace set to over 2,700 degrees. Do you know that the struggle I'm in right now only makes me stronger? Do you know that the heat I'm in right now, the heat of the battle, God is refining me into something so great and something so special? The telescope was installed in 1947. Its unprecedented power led to important discoveries like the composition of the stars and the size of the universe. And then Spruce Pine wasn't done. It would take even a more important role in the digital age. In the 1950s, thousands of miles away from North Carolina, a group of engineers, one of them was named William Shockley, I know him. But this is William Shockley. He worked at Bell Labs. He moves to Mountain View, California. He was one of the inventors of the computer transistors. Set up his own company. He was a genius, but he was a bad boss. So he lost his best engineers a couple years later. So they set up their own company. One of those engineers was Robert Noyce. Robert Noyce was already famous, even in his mid-20s, for his expertise on transistors. The breakthrough came in 1959 when Robert Noyce and his colleagues figured out a way to cram thousands of grains of transistors on a computer chip. Today, we cram billions of transistors on a computer chip. In 1968, Noyce founded another company. He named it Intel. In 1971, Intel released their first computer chip. It had 2,250 transistors on it. Today, we put billions. These tiny electronic rectangles and squares are the brains that run your computer and your phone. The internet, Google, Amazon, Microsoft, the computer systems that underpin the work of everything from the Pentagon to your local bank. All of this is, and much more is based on sand. The wafers are cut into tiny, thin, quadrangular computer chips, which is the brains of your phone and your computer. And the whole process, folks, requires hundreds of precisely, carefully controlled steps. And the chip that results is one of the most complicated man-made objects on the earth. Yet, it's made from the most insignificant, common stuff, sand. Do you think, come to the music, do you think it's a coincidence that God just randomly thought, I'll make them out of dust? Do you you think when God was talking to Abraham that day, do you think he just randomly thought, well, what can I compare him, his blessings to? I said, okay, the stars. Oh, I look down at his feet. Oh, I'm on the beach. Do you think he does anything by accident? Do you think he does anything out of coincidence? He does everything well. You're not a coincidence. The battle you're facing right now is not a coincidence. Do you realize who you really are? You started out dusty, and then you became sandy. And then you got baptized with the Holy Ghost and fire, that spiritual prophetic dioxide of the Holy Spirit. What is not in the computer chip is in your soul. I'm not preaching about artificial intelligence here today. I'm preaching about the mind of Christ, where God said, if you ask me, I will show you great and mighty things which are to come. I'm 59 years old, and when I was God planned me, made me fearfully and wonderfully, and he said, I've got to do it out of dust. Because I'm going to save Lloyd and I'm going to bring him into the sandy seed blessing of Abraham. And I'm going to baptize that element, that silica that Lloyd is. And I'm going to baptize him with the dioxide of the Holy Ghost and fire. I'm going to turn up the heat on his life. I'm going to put him in the furnace, but the flames aren't going to overflow, take him. I'm going to heat him up, because what comes out of that furnace is a world changer. Get on your feet and praise the Lord. Is a world changer. Is a prophetic seer. Is a hearer. The original house of God was the tabernacle of Moses. Tabernacle of Moses had a three-dimensional setting: outer court, holy place, and holy of holies. I see two different types of people. I see in the outer court, in the holy place, I see the people that are Sadducees, agnostics, tired Christians, wore out from the battle. And I see them with their hands folded, knees crossed. What are you doing? Well, I'm waiting for Jesus to return. World's getting terrible. I can't take it any longer. Been through SARS. Now we're going through coronavirus. You can never give in to fear. Somebody said, fear tolerated is faith contaminated. You tolerate fear, you contaminate your faith. Did you hear what I just said? Fear tolerated is faith contaminated. You can't give in. You come too far. God's about to do something in you that you've never ever thought about before. You're about to see things you've never seen before. You're about to hear things you've never heard before. You're about to do things you've never done before. Why? Because God has made you the 21st century prophetic silica chip that will change this world. You, from the balcony on down, you are the sand in the hourglass of time. And God is prophetically speaking today, saying, it's your time. 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 You ought to be telling your neighbor that right now. It's your time. Oh, by the way, do you know that if you ever get a tour of the Intel manufacturing chip plant, before you can go in that building, they put a white, pure white uniform on you that covers your head to the soles of your feet. And then they make you stand in front of this hose. And that hose sprays jet air on you. Why? Because it's going to remove every speck of dust, every loose bit of lint. Because when you go into that place, there can be nothing contaminated. Do you know that an Intel manufacturing chip plant is 1,000 times cleaner than a hospital? Inspire Church is your Intel computer chip manufacturing plant. The white robe of Jesus' righteousness has been put on us. We don't have to fear about being contaminated. That's what worship is for. It purifies us. I was up this morning early walking around outside and I felt the Holy Spirit just speak to me, Dr. Hurt. He said, you don't have to be perfect, but you can be pure. Oh, I got to say that again because that was a word from the Holy Spirit. You don't have to be perfect, but you can be pure. Blessed are the pure, for they will see God. Oh, God's about to... Can I have 5 minutes? Where was the lady up here singing? Spirit of the Lord said, I'm healing her. With the beautiful white suit on. You were standing here. I got to see you. Come quickly. The Holy Spirit spoke to me. And I don't have time here to really get into. But I know the Holy Spirit spoke to me. And he said, I'm going to visit children. The Holy Spirit said, tell them to remind them how important they are. Get rid of insignificancy. It was God's plan to make you out of dust because God knew you would become sandy. And God knew that you are the prophetic, silicon, oxygenated, Holy Ghost filled person for this moment in time. There's going to be a prophetic release released over this audience this morning. They that know their God shall do great exploits. You see the difference between the people in the holy place and the outer court versus the Holy of Holies? The people in the outer court and in the holy place are waiting for Jesus to return. But you and I who are in his presence right now, and we've climbed our way up on Mount Zion, we've been having an intimate relationship with Jesus behind the veil, and we know this. Listen, everybody, before Jesus returns for his church, he's going to return in his church. That's why there's a scripture that says the glory of the latter house will be greater than the glory of the former house. Shadows are turning around. Love's gonna shine on me. Everything lost will be found. Lord, I believe. The shadows are turning around. Love's gonna shine on me. Everything lost will be found. Lord, I believe. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thine the glory. I'm going to pray for every person in this place to be baptized with the Holy Ghost and fire anew and afresh in the next 120 seconds. I pray in tongues every morning. I pray in my spiritual language every morning. I don't think of requests. I get in the spirit. And when I begin to pray in my heavenly language, that's when my thoughts are gathered the right way. And I know what to ask for. I know how to order my day. God is going to be doing things in the next few weeks at Inspire Church. If you think you've seen much yet, nothing compared. Because you're realizing who you are. I've been through the fire. But he's making me into a vessel of honor that no computer system will ever compare to. I'm going to hear from God, walk with God.